This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Hollow Table News Network. Is you're not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars, Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I am Celia Xera, and as usual, I am joined by my host, Pico Burrito. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's January.
It is. You made it through the holidays.
I did, barely.
Good. Yeah.
What a whirlwind. Holy. We got through it. We weren't even through it. We were like, we had 4 days in a row of family gatherings.
Oh.
And like, we were doing all the driving, which I was like, we could have put our foot down and be like, you come to us because, you know, new baby and everything. But then I'm like, I don't really want you over. So I'll come to you.
It's hard to get people out when you want them out.
Exactly. It's like, I don't want to host. No. So we were on day three and I looked at Trav and I was like, we're not doing this next year. I'm telling like whatever this. No, just hard. No. And he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So you made it through.
I'm actually still on the holidays. I do not go back to work until Monday of next week. So I've been off. I will be off December 21st through January 8th.
Oh.
So this nice, but tomorrow is my favorite day of the year.
January 4th?
Yes, because tomorrow is the day that my wife goes back to work and my kids go to school. And I remind them as they're all leaving, Dad's going to sit on the couch all day and play video games.
I was like, what is happening January 4th that I am missing? That would be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm sure they appreciate it.
They do. They love it. They love it. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So, clearly, you're in holiday mode. I'm still basically in holiday mode. CG is definitely still
Absolutely.
In holiday mode. They're not back. So, we have no news.
Nothing. There is nothing.
So that's it. But we can fill an hour.
We can. We've said we hope we can fill an hour before, and 2.5 hours later we're still talking. So I mean I think that our plan to fill an hour, I think that we'll be pretty good from that side. So
exactly. Okay, so we're obviously not gonna do headlines because there's nothing happening. Do we want to just start with That's No Moon then? And just go right into it.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So what would you think right now then is the big topic? Because we're in this weird middle zone.
So I'm going to go here.
Okay.
I think the big topic is we got a conquest that everyone expected to be a crap storm because of when it was going to be released. And we had no bugs.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any. I mean, I think the only one I know of is that the Ewok feat is counting 20 battles and it says 40.
Yeah.
But other than that.
So the only broken part is very player friendly during that break. So maybe CG's new QA program needs to be based off of the fear of being called in on vacation.
Maybe. Yeah. The fear of having to go in and do your job.
Yes.
And that will do it. I actually was very surprised. I expected there to be bugs right away.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially when I saw that we were getting like the new Datacron nodes added.
Yep.
I really expected. I was like, you're just playing with fire going into Christmas.
I had no idea what those new Datacron nodes were outside that they were there. Mm-hmm. Did you have an inkling or did you have a guess at that that's what they were for?
We just, before Conquest started, we just knew that there were going to be new Datacron nodes. I don't think I didn't know I can't remember when exactly I found out if it was right when Conquest started or right before. But I didn't really know what it was going to be. I was more hopeful that they didn't change that Bad Batch node. I was like, just leave that Bad Batch node alone. But it looks, honestly, I think it was a really smart change.
I think so.
Especially like like for me, I'm like, I can do 14 resistance wins that I haven't in sector one to go in and clean up now. If I need an extra of three or four, whatever it is, I don't have to do it just on the Datacron node now. Like, I'll do it on a Datacron node, but it doesn't have to be the one that drops just the cron. So like, that's a really smart move.
So it will change the way that I work on feats.
Yeah.
Probably like on the second of the two Datacron conquests.
Okay, yeah.
Because I like to try and push to Sector 4 so that I can farm the Mark 2 and Mark 3 roll material or level up material. And now that I can get it on Sector 1, because I typically don't need the Datacron nodes there, like I'm less worried about using those, because now I can get what I need to. Because normally by the time like the second month rolls around, I have more Datacrons to roll up.
Yes.
Than I need. So yeah, I thought it was a great change.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. Like I've been using those new nodes, even like just for regular sector feats, even for the global feats. I'm going in and just doing different nodes. I'm like, that's fine. So kudos to them.
I also, and I guess maybe I knew this, but I didn't think about it, but on Gambit the other day, one of the questions that they asked Solo and Xerath was, what do the level up mats convert into? And they convert into reroll material for the next set.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to stockpile a ton of that so that I can start rerolling it. I usually seem to be short on the level six mats. So I'll probably just start stockpiling those over the next week as kind of we make that run. But again, I thought it was a great change.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's smart. And I think this also, though, kind of highlights that they really want us to engage with Datacrons.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so just engage. And honestly, though, like, it's smart. Like, if you have the 4 million GP as your entrance for hard mode conquest, if you can't get through the whole conquest, but you want that player to engage in Datacrons, you need to give them all access to the materials.
Yep.
So.
And especially as they're making it, new characters are faster to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And typically Datacrons are tied to the latest character releases. So yeah, you want to kind of tie those two pieces together and kind of give people access to that awesome stuff on that side. So, now, what were your thoughts on the difficulty level this time around? This is day 7, correct?
Yeah, we're halfway through now.
Okay.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have any complaints about it. Everything looks relatively cheesable.
Yep.
I know some people have been struggling to get through the Sector 4 crew boss. I've seen. I personally, like, I use Jabba on one account and I use Leia on the other account.
Yeah.
Which I know isn't necessarily what people want to hear. I did try using Grievous because I've had good luck with him against crew nodes in general.
Okay.
Since he can put healing immunity on crew and then you can eventually just wear him down. Did not work on the boss node. So
that boss node feels like, hey, we're not gonna take away your discs that you like to use, but we sure are gonna make it not work. Like in this one case, like we're gonna make you do something different. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I think once I get to the end, which I'm gonna be done, I'm definitely gonna be done early. I'll probably play around with that boss node some more just to see what other teams work. I just don't want to waste energy on it right now while I'm cleaning up, but the actual difficulty of it is fine. Even the fact that they increased the amount of debuffs that we have to do, like going up to 300 stagger and all of that. At first you look at it and you're like, oh, 300. And then you get through the sector and you're like, oh, I'm actually a good chunk of into this just going through the sector. And now I can go back and just cheese the rest.
So I was one of the initial, and I forget who on the HNN, I think it was Idaho Wolf, shared a video that they had of how they got a bunch of the staggers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying and it wasn't working out. And I think after like went through it a couple times. He even said, he's like, I think I got the, like he said, I think I got the perfect RNG so that he got 250 out of it. But I wasn't paying attention, and I actually burned through all of my deployable cooling systems, and I was at about 150. So I had to do the other 150 without it. I was able to get 35 to 40 every time just by putting, by using other consumables to make sure that my characters went first. So the other speed ones.
Yep.
And then it was Sabine. It was, you know, Mara. It was Kira and somebody else. And that was, if those three kind of went off, I mean, that was 15 right there. Vasila Shan was in there. That was another 20, but I could typically get up to about 30 or 35 without a problem whatsoever. And you know, that's, I think I figured it out. If I would have had to have kept running that seven total fights to get it done. So that's not a lot. It's a day. I take it back. It's a refresh, worst case scenario.
Right. Yeah. That's a perfect way to look at it. It's one refresh and the feat's done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't find the difficulty bad. I don't find it like worse that they increased the number.
Yeah.
It seems like another really straightforward conquest.
Yeah. Everyone seemed to figure out the Aiden one pretty easy. I didn't watch the video on the Veers and Piet, which again, I think it's funny that someone was able to do all 100 of them in a single fight.
I haven't watched it yet either, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Ruthless Swiftness. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Which makes sense. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this just goes to show like every conquest where like there's going to be cheese. There's going to like all of these feats are going to be doable. It'll be fine.
Yeah. The crit chance, crit damage ones were stupid easy. Like, you know, two fights and you were done.
I know I finished one of, I think it was crit damage I finished on one account. I can't remember which account it was. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know how I finished that. I was just going through the sector and then it was done. And I was like, oh, okay. Like,
well, in those two stats in particular, those two buffs in particular, like I don't pay attention to who gives those out, because crit damage is nice, but it's not like offense where offense impacts everybody. Crit damage is very specific characters around that. So, you know, like you forget that the Rebel team just throws that out all over, you know, they throw that stuff out all over the place. There was a cheese with Princess Leia, the original Princess Leia that kind of like spits it out, like all, like I think it's to the entire team if she takes a turn while stealth. So it just adds up like really, really quick to get those things done. So
yeah. And even the, I know the expose one is really particular in terms of the wording on how it triggers, but I've just been using Rogue One. And it's been giving, I'm not even cheesing it. I'm literally going in with my Rogue One every once in a while, probably like three times a day, doing one battle with them. I get, I think like 10 or 15 in a battle. So I'm not cheesing it, but I need the Rebel wins. So like, as far as I'm concerned, I'm like, that's fine. It's, I do one Leia battle so I can get Drogon a kill, and then I do one Rogue One battle and get some expose, and then I have two Rebel wins. So it's, there's like little things like that I'm like, it's not bad. So
it's the expose one. I love the fact that I'm still learning how this game works at this point. So I took my Finzori team up against a Rey team, and I got like 60 exposes, and I couldn't figure out why, because I did not get a turn.
Oh, was it from them?
Because it's the way that in Mole Pokey did a description of this, but the way that it works is that for something in Ray's kit, I believe, is that when the exposes come on, the target inflicts it upon themselves, but because you're a resistance character, you're targeting out, you're exposed, you're basically putting the expose on yourself at that point, so you're getting credit for it. So like I knocked those out by just taking teams in and just dying, like it was three fights in a row. I'm like, I just want to be done with this, and just got it over like that. So
that's perfect. Yeah. Done.
I'm like, I don't, yes, I wasted 60 energy. I also then didn't have to worry about exposes for the rest of the of the time. So
then you're done.
Yeah.
I think the only thing for me with this conquest is I'm so thrown off because it started on the Wednesday.
Yes.
That I, for a while, have been panicking. I'm like, oh, I'm so behind. And I'm like, oh, I'm not behind at all. Like, I'm doing really good.
Yeah, it's day 7, not day 10.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I? Because I'm doing it the exact same way I always do it, which is I slow play it. I do all like the 14 battles and the sectors first, and then I go back and I do all of the debuffs and buffs, etc. Like those types of feats. I do the ones that you have to win for first, so I can control my stamina. So I have like this slow build of my points. And then all of a sudden in the last few days, all the feats just pop off and I get to 630. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, this just doesn't feel good. I'm usually much, much further by now. And it's fine.
But so I did something very, very dumb. I was not paying attention. And I started to panic that when I didn't get enough deployable cooling system, or when I burned all those out, I thought, oh great, I'm gonna have to find another 15 point, because I don't want to sit here and farm these. So I didn't want to go chase another 15 point. And I did some 200 refreshes, which again, because I was just trying to play catch up, because I don't like trying to be done. Thinking that the rebels were worth 15 points.
Oh.
Because I had the $30 pass. Well, nope, that wasn't the case. It was one, and I'm like, awesome. So then I had to go figure it out from that side. So
no.
Yes. Because I will never. I have decided, like, what, in my opinion, is the worst feat type. And that is win 14 battles with a faction that there is only one possible team.
Okay. Yeah. Because then
so
you're.
Tuscans.
Yeah. Tuscans.
Because you get stuck behind stamina refresh.
Yeah, which is why like I am so particular when I play Conquest. I'm like, okay, I gotta log in the morning, I gotta log in after lunch, and then I gotta log in after dinner. So I can do one Tuscan in the morning, one Tuscan in the afternoon, and it keeps that stamina up. Otherwise it's a nightmare.
For me, the idea of having to do feats over 3 days, like a feat over 3 days, is painful. So even with, you know, I'm starting to push more and more into like 30% stamina with some teams, just because I'm learning that if you do 30% stamina and then you can kind of do maintenance fights after that, it's enough to get you there. But that initial 7 push up, you know, into those groups of 14, just kind of make it so you can knock it out on the next day. I did that with unaligned force users, and I ended up doing that with the light side mandos. Again, having bow helps out a lot from that side, but they were tanky enough that I could run them down to 60 or 70, or I should say what, 30 or 40% a couple of times.
So that helps
to get that running.
I think the really good thing with this conquest is the 40 battles being rebels and First Order, especially if you have Supreme Leader Kylo. Like, you can get that done so fast. I mean, first of all, rebels, there's just so many.
Yep.
You've got your, if you have Leia, you have your Leia team, you have your CLS team, you have Rogue One. Like, there's so many rebel teams that you can put together. And then the First Order team, you can run down real, they all don't have to live, so you just run them down low and have Kylo go in and clean up, and you're done.
And so I know I brought this up when he first came out, but not a lot of people had him. But if folks that are still trying to get through the rebel ones, Saw Gerrera with VAA drops so many debuffs on the other team that it's like one of those cases that the game might lock up on you.
Oh yeah.
So he is another one to get everyone down to like, you know, 5% immediately. So you drop the dynamite sticks on people, and then all of a sudden they're down, and then you just have, you know, somebody come back through and just clean them all up underneath it. So
that's perfect. And then you get a count to your rebels.
Yep. And it's super easy from that side. So
So I know that you mentioned this earlier and wanting to touch on this with Conquest specifically. Well, Mulpoke brought this up, that do we think that conquest is getting to the point where we just have more tools in our belt? So it feels not necessarily like hard, but like we're like, it's the same thing every time, even though it's just new feats.
Yeah. It's a great question because there are, you know, there were a couple of characters that were in the game that very, like, it's when you get Jedi Master Luke and all of a sudden he opens up a lot of conquest possibilities and Jedi Master Luke and Lot. But I don't know. I think this time around I think it's a combination of the number of, I thought the feats aligned very easily to easily achievable. Rebels mm-hmm. being one, First yeah. Order being, you know, 40 wins with First Order characters. Most people can field two First Order teams so that they're able to get between 5 and 7 a day, which means you can knock it out in a week. It's not mm-hmm. it's not the full 14 days or something similar to that point.
Yeah, I mean, even if you can't, I remember during the Ben Solo Conquest series, we had the 40 First Order wins yeah. there as well. And on the Professor X account, I didn't have Kylo. I didn't, like, the First Order team on that account sucked. There was one Relic character, and I think it was Relic yeah. 1. Like, it was ridiculous. And it was doable. Like, I banged yeah. out 40 with that, and it was fine. You just have to do it on the right note, get your disc yep. sorted, and make sure you're doing at least 3 a day, and you're good.
I'm starting to find that Rey is becoming what I used to think that Rey and the Resistance was a really bad team
mm-hmm.
Because they're relatively slow and it takes them. You're basically waiting for Rey to take everybody out. So, and the longer fight goes on in Conquest, the more chance that you have for losing someone. And then all of a sudden now you're dropping stars and you've got to go back and redo it. Rey is starting to become more and more of a character that I think that is becoming a difference maker. And mm-hmm. I think, again, because the damage immunity helps actually keep characters alive for a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And now because so many people have her, I think it's starting to help there as well. So maybe it is becoming a little bit more, there's just more tools available.
I will say for myself, having played on my own account and then on Professor X, and when Professor X, I started it when he only had Jedi Master Luke.
Yep.
And now has 7 GLs, which is, or 6 GLs, which is just obscene. It really does feel like the more tools you have, the easier it is.
Yep.
Because even on the Professor X account, like, I don't worry so much about managing my stamina. I can go in multiple times with a team and not have to worry. I can, like, even these like Ewoks or whatever the feat is, I'm looking at it now, I'm like, oh, it's only 20. I'm like, I could do that instead of a different feat if I wanted to. And we're halfway through. I'm like, I could make that work. Like, it's just such a weird it's not even a weird feeling, but you really notice it when you, at least for me, because I started that playing it on that account when my own account was so far ahead. Like, I had different sure. strategies for both accounts, and now it's basically the same strategy across them.
Well, and I guess where it, if you start thinking about where things are different. So at this time last year, like, even just taking your account or just kind of people in general,
mm-hmm.
300 dots for a lot of people meant Lord Vader lead.
Right.
Now there's most people, a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, a number of accounts in the game have 3 teams that are capable of knocking out 300 dots real mm-hmm. easy. Between Tuskens, you run a Darth Vader lead, and then you run a Lord Vader lead, and you can knock it out from that standpoint. The Inquisitors being able to just run 100% stamina down, so 10 nodes in a row to give you progress,
mm-hmm.
you know, through an area, especially on accounts that maybe are struggling to get all the way through, but a lot of people just seem to have those two accounts and what they do from that side. So and this isn't asking for it to be more difficult, you know, it's again, I think the the time commitment is right.
Yeah, I agree. It's still a huge time commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think it helps that they've also made it worth people's time and energy, because now Datacrons are also something that are achievable for a lot of people because of it. So
right. And it's also one of those game modes that the more you play it, the more you will get out of it, theoretically. So you can choose when to stop.
Yep.
You know, if you just care about Red Crate and you don't care about your Datacrons, then you stop at Red Crate or Gold Crate or whatever the crate may be. And if you care about Datacrons, then you go a little harder or a lot harder.
Do you think that there are people that are starting to invest in some of the, or have you heard like people investing in Conquest characters? Like, to me, Qui-Gon's a really interesting character because, one, you automatically get a foresight while it's there. Mm-hmm. He's a Galactic Republic, so we see a lot of that. Like, do you think people are starting to bring up characters because, and Qui-Gon's great in Grand Arena, like he has a use there. Are you seeing that maybe? Because I pay attention a little bit as people are talking about. I was not prepared to say this, so it's going to come across very snotty. I don't always pay attention to folks at lower GP levels talk about how they get through things.
Yep.
Because I can't relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if I give them, like, this is how I do it, they're going to turn around like, but I don't have those tools, where it sits from that side. So
I actually like that you asked this, because a while ago, I think it was probably a year ago, maybe close to a year ago, I put out a video basically saying, like, farm these characters, these teams for Conquest specifically. And I actually had somebody comment on it within the last 2 or 3 weeks. It was a pretty recent comment. And they were asking if I still used those teams, because they were approaching 4 million GP and they were getting ready to go into hard mode. And they wanted to know if it was still, you know, applicable, because it is a little bit older. To which I said, yes, I still use all of those teams, and obviously like newer ones as well. But all the teams I mentioned, I still use. And I found it interesting, only because, and obviously not every player thinks this way. This is clearly a very engaged lower GP player. But I found it really interesting because they wanted to be able to build the teams to get as far in as possible, as many charges as possible, to not get stuck behind Proving Grounds.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so smart. And they were asking, and I said, you know, unfortunately, I can't relate to Proving Grounds because I can't play it. So I can't tell you what teams to also work on for that. But they had already gone and done some research there, and on looking on the forums and other servers to see what teams were working for which Proving Ground battles.
Yeah.
So they know which teams to work on for those characters to catch up. And I was like, this is so, like, so smart and just so willing to be prepared to go into this mode as soon as possible once you hit that 4 million mark and get as far as possible that you can. So anyway, to answer your question, I do think some people are thinking about it.
Okay.
Which, in my opinion, is the right way to if you are a serious player, like, that's the right way to go about it. Whether or not you care about Datacrons, like, the biggest thing to me is don't get stuck behind Proving Grounds.
Like, yeah, and we were, I can't remember if it was in our guild chat or if it was on HNN last week, we were kind of going back and forth about some of the Conquest characters and how they've kind of fallen off. Like, there's, I know there's a lot of people that with the new bow team that's come in, it almost invalidates Scion of Jango.
Okay.
Because his whole thing was, in territory wars, he takes out Lord Vader.
Right.
Well, that bow team absolutely destroys Lord Vader in every game. It doesn't matter. So, and the Conquest characters don't always seem to hold their value for a long time. Like, Rey and Maul, or I'm sorry, not Rey, Cat and Maul, absolutely still, again, top of the line. With the changes to Darth Bane, or with Darth Bane coming in, I think that Ben probably is a good character, but it see now just goes back to beating Rey, like can go back to beating Rey again is kind of the thought from that standpoint. But I think for the most part, outside of maybe Dad Bod, having all those characters is a huge benefit to your roster, regardless of the faster you can get them in again to keep yourself out of proving grounds as long as possible. I think just makes all the sense in the world. So
yeah, and like to me, the biggest thing is you don't know what CG is going to do next.
Yep.
As much as we want to guess and speculate, we don't know what they're going to do next. And any of those characters can become, we've seen them become requirement characters for things. Yeah. And you don't want to sit there and be like, I can't do this because I don't have this character.
Yep.
Like, you know, when Xerath picked up Prevail Man again, he was like, I can't get Leviathan because I don't have Scythe. And he's like, I can't get Scythe until, like, it was a whole cascading like thing, and it was just a total lockout for him of not being able to get that shit. So I mean, we saw it as well with Razor Crest with Executor right away. So we know that they do it. And whether it's something like needing the character for an event to get another thing unlocked, or needing the character for a feat, which we see now, like we just unlocked Dark Trooper Moff Gideon, and they're like, oh yeah, you need him to survive for a feat here, which yeah, you could skip if you had to, but they put him right in right away, which is crazy to me. You just don't know what they're going to do, and it just doesn't make sense to me to get stuck. You don't, just because you are getting the character doesn't mean you have to necessarily level them and gear them. Like, if you don't care about Ben or Bane or whoever it is, that doesn't mean that you have to put your gear on them. It just means that it's better to have them on your roster than not, in the event that all of a sudden you do need them.
So my secret conquest characters. So I'm interested to hear who yours are.
Okay.
So there's the Jedi trio, of Qui-Gon, Hermit Yoda, and Grandmaster Yoda.
Yeah,
because they spread foresight.
Mm-hmm.
They're Jedi,
mm-hmm.
but they're also non-attackers.
Yeah,
and we always seem to get a non-attacker feat, so that's always a really nice mix to put in with Jedi Master Luke. So I love those three characters.
Mm-hmm.
Vassal Shan Fallen.
Yep.
I think she's a complete. I'm shocked at the number of teams that she slots into to knock out feats
Mm-hmm.
from that standpoint. And then I think Mara Jade is another just big character that kind of sits in there, that again, because we stagger just seems to be one of those feats that we get all the time, and she always just seems to go first. Like, it's one
all
of those
the time.
Cases that she seems to just be able to get five off if she needs to get them off.
Like, to the point that sometimes when I'm using, like, I pretty much always use her under the Palpatine lead.
Yeah.
Which I realize it is my own doing to create this problem. But sometimes I'm like, can you just stop taking a turn? Like, I need Vistilla Fallen to take a turn now. And
Yeah.
I need to just chill.
just stop. You stop what you're doing and go over there. So, yeah.
Let's share.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I use them. I also really love using Shock. Shock is great for also not being an attacker, so she slots in really well with that. She can call, her call to assist works on light side and dark side allies.
I forget about that.
Yeah, so she's got the call to assist on light side and dark side, and Hermit Yoda does as well. His master's training can go light side, dark side, which is really good for these feats where you're like, oh,
Wait.
I need Iden to go get kills, and Jedi Master Luke can't call Iden.
Wait. Jedi training from Hermit Yoda works on dark side characters.
Yeah, you can put it on a dark side character and it calls them to assist.
I Hermit Yoda's never been on a team with a dark side character on my roster, but I didn't realize that to be the case.
The last series that we had where we needed to inflict doubt, and I was cheesing it. Hermit Yoda was on the team, and I would put the master's training on Bane. Or not Bane, sorry, on Malgus.
Yeah.
Him and Shock. I just love having both of them.
Crazy.
Keeps the team alive. And just being able to call whoever you want. Like, obviously, being able to use Jedi Master Luke is great because the damage you're doing is being dealt off of his protection, right? Yeah. So you're just doing so much more damage, and you can take your level one gear one character in and have them kill somebody, which obviously isn't the case if you're using Shock and Hermit Yoda and those types of characters to call them to assist. But if you have a decently built character and you go in with like the VAAA build and knock the characters down, and then you just call like low health, and then you just call that character with all these other ones to assist, you can get those kill shots in. I think that's actually one of the things I really like that they've changed in the last couple of conquests, is making the kills in the sectors be like 10 or 14 or whatever the number may be. It's just much nicer that way to I only have to kill 10 characters with Iden.
Well, and those end up being puzzles, and they end up becoming character checks. Do you have these characters that can pull this off? And there was a bunch of, we saw a number of different ways to kind of go after those Iden ones. I really liked the Lord Vader Force Crush, and then Iden just clean up. But there's lots of ways to go about that. But I think that that's part of why we're also seeing that drop down, is it's less about can you just do it, and more about can you figure out the right levers to pull to make it happen 10 times. Because let's be honest, Iden, while she does damage, she's not taking somebody down from full health to nothing,
right?
You know, on a shot. So
right, exactly. So I like to use them. And then I preach about Bam Han Chewie all the time.
But okay, so and again, I know not everybody has all the characters, but as Jabba is now accelerated.
Yeah.
Do you see Bam Han Chewie falling to the wayside? Because everyone should be able to get a non-UFU, non-Jedi team to take care of.
No. And the only reason why I don't is Bam Han Chewie makes the survivable feats really straightforward.
Fair enough.
You've got that VAAA build.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent, there are some teams that it just doesn't, you know, if they're immune to debuffs, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But like that Bam Han Chewie on that crew node in Sector 4 is not going to do you any favors. He just melts like that. That squad just melts them, and then your level one, gear one, whoever is just like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Just tag along.
I lived. I made it. I made it. Thank you.
So, oh man, it's just they're just so much fun. I'm having a ton of fun. I've been doing not a ton of, but I have been using them occasionally when I'm like, oh, I just need like a team here. I've been using Seer, like the unaligned force user Seer team, like the standard build, and that's been pretty fun. Which I know is like a niche, like you don't need to do that. It's just a nice team to get through. Jabba, I actually think next to Jedi Master Luke, I would say Jabba is probably the best GL for Conquest.
Okay.
Next to Jedi Master Luke.
I can see that. I think any team that you can run down to 20% stamina is a good team to have, which is why I think the Inquisitors are so great in Conquest as well.
They're so much fun. I love the Inquisitors.
Even if it's not third sister on it, because it's what's just as good as six stacks of purge on everybody. Five stacks of purge.
It does the same thing.
It does.
No, they are a ton of fun. I just feel like I use a lot of the same teams over and over again.
Yeah.
Which Like, I still use my CLS squad in Conquest. I still use... I think the only GL I don't use in Conquest is C.
I don't use C. I don't use Slicker unless I have to.
Which is funny. I don't use Lord Vader unless I have to.
Okay.
And I don't think it's not because he's bad in Conquest. I think he's actually very good in Conquest. I just always forget that I have him.
I just love the stack a bunch of dots and then watch everyone just fall over because, you know, your Galactic Legend goes first and then the other team doesn't, they take all of their turns and they all just fall over dead. So I use him quite a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, any GL really is, I honestly will say any GL except for probably C will help you in Conquest. C just doesn't get you very far.
Although it'll be interesting to see what happens with Bane coming in. Does that change it? Although does it matter at that point?
Right.
You know, outside of, you know, I don't know, some weird feat that's going to involve their kits in such a way that they have to be, you know, kill 40 characters that are linked or something silly like that.
Oh, actually, another team that I use a lot is Phoenix.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That's a new one for me. I started using them because we had to use them for the survival feat. And then I was like, oh, you guys are like really good. it's nice. I'm like, which also, by the way, is a full Rebel team.
Yeah.
Even with Captain Rex on it, it's a full Rebel team. And I'm like, great, cool. Another tip.
I'll use it. There we go.
Yeah. So they are a ton of fun. I actually got confused the other day because I logged into Professor X and I was like, oh, an Inquisitor team, I'll get Phoenix out and do that. Because it is super easy against Inquisitors. With the Captain Rex Zeta. And I went into Phoenix and they were all reliced. And I was like, crap, what account am I? I completely had no idea what account I was on, if I was just like going crazy. Yeah. And then I realized that Xerath had bought the Phoenix Lightspeed bundle on there. And I was like, oh, I'm like, this is even better.
we're going like through 7 fights now. So
yeah, like fantastic. Yeah, they are a ton of fun. Yeah, love them.
So
I think I more or less look for specific enemies in Conquest versus specific teams to use. Like, I always want a First Order team. I always want a Phoenix team if I can.
So I like the sortie teams.
Mm-hmm.
The VAA sortie teams. I've always had a lot of fun with those. And then I have a sneaking suspicion I will use them quite a bit. I like using Paz. It's not the Mandalorians. Ooh. I like Paz. Like, I love his kit. I think it's a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Fill it up to tear it down. I will probably use that quite a bit. But it's honestly anything that just gets things done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Start it. Let me hit auto. Drink my coffee. Put it down, and then go to the next fight. Like, that's because I do it first thing in the morning. That's the sequence of events that I need to happen pretty quickly.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So, it's good.
Yep.
Okay. Was there another thing on our big topic list?
So as we're talking about that.
Yeah.
What did you like in the past year? Like, what look at kind of Raid, you had some new characters, kind of all this stuff. Like what are you like, man, that was just awesome. Like, I just dig this that happened in the past year.
Okay. I did not prepare for this. I really liked the Jedi Cal event.
Okay.
I think I liked it even more now because I started playing Jedi Survivor. And now I'm like, oh yeah, this is like really, this is even more fun. Like now, when you get like the crossover happening,
yeah,
like, oh man, this is great. So I really like that. I surprisingly, man, this is gonna freak. Hold on to your hats. I really like the new raid. I know. I really like it. It's every raid. I'm like, I did better than the raid before.
Yeah.
Even if it's only a couple hundred thousand, I'm like, did better. And I like it. It's straightforward. It's simple. It doesn't require a ton of like brain power, in my opinion. I just like it. I think the only thing I want them to do is turn off the background, but I'm kind of getting a little bit more used to it. It's not bugging me as much as it was at first, but I'm like, I like it.
All right. So if they keep the 6-day cadence.
Yep.
But they stick with this idea that we're going to throw all of the characters' abilities away. We're going to have raid specific abilities.
Uh-huh.
Are you okay if that's the model they use moving forward?
I think it would depend on the raid itself in general.
Okay.
But I probably would be. I really like the 6-day cadence. Yeah. And I don't know if it's the 6-day cadence doing it for me or if it's because I actually do like the raid. We hit like that day 5, day 6 in our week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's almost raid day. And like, I'm sure you've seen it too in our Discord. We're like, hey, raid's tomorrow.
It's raid day.
Yeah. Like
we went from, I can't believe you're tagging me already, to, hey, the raid's coming in 24 hours.
Yeah. Like it's a totally different mindset now. We're like, oh yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing I really like about this raid too, and I did put out like, it's not a guide. It's more of like a playthrough video. I just was like, I want to show people what teams I'm using and what I'm doing on their modding or how you can get this score. And it was all characters that don't require extra investment in.
Okay.
Like it was all requirement characters. And then the other odd character here and there that wasn't a requirement character had a really valid reason to bring up.
Okay.
So there was no, like the only Ewok I talked about was Nissa.
Okay.
There's no Ewoks in my raid teams. And the whole idea was that with those teams that I was showing you, you could get over 14 million.
Okay.
And I was like,
that's a great score.
Yeah. I was like, you can have your guild. If you're all getting 14 million, like you're getting set. I think that's like 700 million.
Yeah.
Like you're shooting past that 665 box. You're laughing at that point. And every week I do better than the week before.
Yeah.
This last one I tweaked a little bit and I accidentally submitted my last raid score on the first run instead. It was like a new team. I basically took Lando out and I put in Death Trooper because I had brought him up. And I wanted to see what it would do to the score. And I accidentally hit submit instead of retry. I wanted to try and tweak the run a little bit. But I still ended up doing 200 and something thousand points better than the week before. And I only had to remod for four teams.
That's actually really nice as well. So you're shooting around 14 and a half million right now. Is that 14 to 14 and a half?
This last one, I did 15.1.
15.1. Okay. So you're pushing. Are you going to try and get to the next box?
Yeah. I want that 15 and a half, but I actually would like to get to the 16. I think it's 16.6 is what we all need to average to get the max crate. And I'm like, if I can get to 16.6, I'd be pretty happy. Even if we don't get to max crate, I just want to know I can do it.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be no problem.
It's, again, this is completely anecdotal. I have nothing to back this up with, but it feels that, like, the, at least in our guild, the opinion of the raid shifted much more positive after they got rid of C-3PO and the C-3PO cheese.
Yeah, because you know what? With the C-3PO cheese, like, I was using that, obviously, but the having to restart, having to...
Yeah.
Not even like restart, but having to pay so much close attention to make sure he actually escaped and didn't die was really just annoying. Like now I'm like, oh, I can just go through it, see if I like my score at the end. If my score for the team is somewhat in the realm of what I usually get, then I post it.
Yeah.
And then I'm happy. Like.
Yeah, we were talking about it right before this, but Darf on the HN9 server did a whole bunch of research last couple of raids.
Yeah.
And he is very specifically advocating that the only stats that matter are hitting offense targets and making characters as fast as possible. But then the trick is to manage your stacks of evasion to hit certain thresholds up to wave. And on wave six, the trick is getting one last kill in enrage. So you want to take a shot with one of your lower. So you want to get them down to like 12 stacks, and then you want to take a shot with, you know, with one of your rebels and take it out from that side.
Right.
So I took his team loadouts, and I ran it for this raid, and I did the same thing. I accidentally hit submit as I was trying to learn a couple of things. I scored 700,000 better than what I normally do. I ended up at 19.1, so I'm just short of that box. But again, what's great about that is because the offense numbers are the only ones that matter.
Yeah,
I can build two loadouts with four teams worth of characters in one loadout and three teams worth of characters in another loadout, and I just load it, run them, load it, run it, and done.
Yeah,
and it's just I'm done with this raid faster than I'm done with what it would take me to do two runs in the great raid.
Yeah, it's so much faster. I just found it to be way more fun.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think I know a lot of people don't like the new abilities and like it's not the game you signed up for and stuff. I'm like, well, 3v3 GAC is not the game I signed up for, but I have to play that too. So I mean, tough. But I don't know. I just like it. I think they did a good job with it. I think I'm gonna be sad when the raid goes away.
Let's hope that they replace it with something good.
Yeah, because I think they did good. So that's what I enjoy. What did you enjoy?
So I think there's a couple pieces, and I want to roll. I'm going to include Aphra in 2024.
Okay,
That team didn't end up at the power level I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just love using it. And it is, I think the team's fun. I think it's great. You know, I use it in Conquest, or not, sorry, not in Conquest, in
Grand Arena.
Territory battles all the time. Oh. I use it in Grand Arena all the time. I love the kit. I still think that BT1 is probably still my favorite character in the game, just from a murder bot perspective. It is great. I thought, again, I really like the Calibant. The characters that Cal added to Rise of the Empire has re-energized me into Rise of the Empire at the end of this year. Then probably where I think I was burned out with Rise of the Empire, probably midpoint of the year.
Yeah.
But I those characters coming in have kind of given some flexibility and some new teams to kind of make some things move along. That said, something's got to shake loose on Rise of the Empire because we've already hit a ceiling. For something that's supposed to be around for years, we've hit a ceiling.
Right.
So
and we're kind of also like, not only have we hit a ceiling, but we're kind of like, do we want to keep going, like, do we want to push further, and like, does it make sense to try and push further, or does it make sense to just chill?
We're at the point that I think we're starting to look at the reality of Relic 9 to start trying to get points.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's going to be a well-received conversation.
Hey, I took my BB-8 to Relic 9.
I saw that. I'm not sure that was to help anyone out besides you just wanted to have that done.
That's true. He is a platoon, though, I will say. Which makes me sad because that means I can't use him. But, man, if there's anyone that wants to use a Relic 9 BB-8, it's me.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that's going to be, even with like the amount of Relic income we're getting from the raid.
Yeah.
I don't, other than BB-8, I can't think of a Relic 9 character that I have that's not a requirement.
So interesting that I think there's a lot of people that are like that in the game, and everyone manages their account their own way, but I struggle with folks that say like, well, I just don't have the resources to take a character to Relic 9. Well, if you only have the requirement characters, I'm struggling to understand how that's accurate, because you should have brains and arrow mags.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do.
Signal data is a problem, and mm-hmm. I get that, but there's a trade-off to get better rewards. I think like we're seeing this in the raid right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I'm gonna completely rip off Solo Base, who said this, like the Clones Unleashed got the last box this week in the raid, and he said that the increase in Mark III rewards
mm-hmm.
will equal 10 net new R8 characters above and beyond the characters paying for the characters that they needed to relic to get that box.
Yeah.
So
it's worth it.
Yeah. It's the, if I invest into this today, there's going to be a payout further down the road, as opposed mm-hmm. to if I hold on to all these resources in the event that I might need to use them. But again, that's a different topic. And it's funny, so talking about like what I liked about 2023, but I'm going to complain about some things in this in Rise of the Empire. I'm frustrated by a couple things. We still have a ship mission on day two that can't be solved,
which is insane.
Yes, it feels like someone made a mistake.
It's absolutely what it feels like. You have a game mode that is over a year old.
Yep.
And an original combat mission that yeah. cannot be beat.
And it's the only, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the only reason why we can't get 18 stars
correct.
In the first 2 days.
That's because exactly
we can't,
the reason.
We can't make it up on the ship. So,
yep.
And by the way, because we'll probably talk about this in a minute, we're not getting a ship to fix that this year.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's the direction they're going to go. So there's that. The geofight pisses me off, because even at full platoons and at Relic 7, I can't consistently beat it.
That's your
turn. Remodding. So that's dumb there as well. There's one of the ship missions I just can't figure out, but that's a me problem more than anything else, I think. But it's... I like what I really like about Rise of the Empire at this point is I'm not using any of my teams from GOTB any longer.
Yeah. It's all teams for
They're all
this.
Different teams now. Yeah. I'm not using Mon Mothma to see what I can do with it. You know, like those mm-hmm. things anymore. I get to use different teams, and I like it from that perspective. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So that was 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen in 2024?
Oof. I can't remember who, but somebody was saying it is, I can't remember what anniversary, but they're expecting
Phantom
a
Phantom Menace. Year Phantom Menace. Yeah.
Expecting a Galactic Republic, boost of sorts,
okay.
whether it's a GL or whatever. I don't know what direction they're going to go. I think we need to see a territory war overhaul.
Yeah, agreed.
Territory wars is so boring. Like,
slog.
It is a snooze fest. Every time I hit join, I'm like, I feel like a little bad hitting join, because I'm like, I don't want to do this. I have to do this, yeah. but I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I heard someone talking recently about an idea of you match up against, so it's a territory war,
mm-hmm.
but I would face someone specifically on the other side, like in a Grand Arena style match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you match up head to head. And I'm like, I don't like that, because I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to end up against like the top GP player in every other guild. And I don't want everyone in our guild to find out that I am so average.
But then what happens when you go in with 50 and yeah. the other guild goes in with 45?
Then you get to double up on certain people.
Like, that wouldn't work.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like we just had a territory war. We thought it was going to be our cupcake war, and we had everyone join, and we got somebody that went in with like 40 people, and it was
Well,
not a cupcake.
it wasn't a cupcake, although did they get past the midpoint of the map?
No.
Yeah. There is a significant advantage of having 10 more Galactic Legends across the board to get things done. But yeah. So I like the Phantom Menace idea. Because I think there's a lot of space that you can go in with the characters from that part of the game. I do not think that we are going to get a meta shifting capital ship.
Oh, okay. So you don't think they'll do their like summer?
I think they're going to do a summer big ship that will
Okay.
shift the meta. I do not think it will be a capital ship.
Okay, I'm following.
I think we're getting Red 5.
That would
And
be.
I think we're going to get Red. I think we're going to get Luke in the orange suit. We're going to get a Red 5. He's going to go with Ackbar because they already said that Ackbar is kind of lining up with the X-Wings. So it'll be Luke, Biggs, Wedge, the Moldy Crow or whatever that
Whatever it
is.
is.
Yeah. And then I think the next raid is going to be a Death Star run with custom abilities like we have in for this one right now. Like I think that's how they fix the ship or the fleet problem is they just take away all the abilities on the ships and then they give you bonuses off of those and they do it similar to how they're doing with the Endor raid.
Yep, and then that's how you get a ship raid in.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be smart. Man, I feel like if we do get Red 5, no one's gonna believe it until we see it. Like in it'll be like in game. We're like, is this real?
Yeah, the first person
Is this
unlocks
on
it. Yeah,
is this an iPhone exclusive or
I'm gonna get this last shard by beating this mission, and it's still gonna unlock the Red 5, right? It's not gonna be something else when it's like, surprise, it's different. So
Exactly. Oh man. I think that would be really good. I don't even want to think about the next raid because I like this raid so much. Like, oh, I don't want it to go away. But I will say, if it is a ship raid, I think I will really enjoy it.
Well, what if, because they already said that the next Conquest character is going to be a lightside character.
Yeah.
What if that were Orange Suit Luke?
Ooh.
Would the world go crazy? Like you have to if you're going to bring Luke in a flight suit.
Yeah.
You have to announce
Red 5.
Red 5 is coming, right?
I think if you put Luke in a flight suit first, which I mean you would, like you would need the
Yeah.
pilot there before the ship. You have to announce it at the same time because we would know.
Yeah. Yep.
Like there's no reason to do that. Which if we did, okay, so that's not the button I wanted. So if we are in Conquest right now, it's gonna end next week.
Yep.
Which I'm assuming they're gonna go back to their regularly scheduled programming.
Yes, that'd be my guess.
So the next Conquest would start January 29th. Which would mean the last Conquest for Bane would start March 4th. So we would get the light side character would be April 8th.
So April, May, June.
June, which is pretty much on
Yeah.
par. If you wanted to unlock him right away, that's actually basically on par with how they did Leviathan.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it was in the middle of the July Conquest that we got Leviathan.
And what you probably get if that's going to be the case is we will probably see maybe like that's when the A-wing and the B-wing come into the game at that same time. I still think that that they designed it so that it goes with Ackbar,
Yeah.
and you're probably going to end up needing, you'd have to do Akbar at R9. Maybe the new X-Wing is Luke and R2, so they both have to be R9. Like I could absolutely see them doing that, like, you know, Wedge and Biggs both at R8 or something like that, plus new ships. But it'll be interesting.
Man, I'm super intrigued now.
Yeah.
That would be wild.
And if it's right, you're not going to hear the end of it until the end of time. If I'm correct,
perfect. Oh man. Okay. Is there anything else you're looking forward to?
No, you know, I'll be interested to see the territory war thing. I think they're going to have to address it. I think we've heard enough rumors.
Yeah.
I'm just interested. I'd love to see what they could pull off with Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we get the Jar Jar Binks thing, because that's it's going to be interesting if and when they go down that path,
mm-hmm.
how they manage that, because it is such a
divisive
topic in the community.
Yeah, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah.
Like, just, he's a character, just roll with it.
Yeah. You don't have to like him.
You don't.
He'll probably be good. You're going to want to use him.
Like, I just don't understand the whole complaining about the character because you don't like the character. I don't get it. But that's a whole other discussion.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a Bantha in the room? Because, I mean, we don't really have any news.
I mean, outside, again, it's the... My Bantha will be, it's going to be February 1st before we have any semblance of an idea of what's going on next at the earliest.
Oh, man, that just made me sad because my Bantha is like, I want news.
Yes.
I'm like, give me an update. You're like, oh, it's going to be February 1st.
I mean, the game has content loaded up through, I think, the 14th.
Right.
So we're not going to see an update. We'll see an update on the 15th would be Tuesday, I think.
Which, like, doesn't mean it just, like, that could just be more galactic challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it, like, they could literally be like, oh, we just got back from vacation. We're not doing anything yet.
I think we'll get the January surprise.
Yeah. I think we'll see that week that they come back. We're going to see IG is going to go farmable.
Yep.
I don't anticipate anything big before the end of the month.
We're going to get a character that everyone is going to overestimate what they're going to be a part of, and they're going to end up not being anything.
Ooh. Do you think we would get Crosshair finally in game? Because this year we're supposed to get the last season of Bad Batch as well.
Yes, but I think Conquest, I think he will be a Conquest character.
Okay.
In the back half of the year, he will be a Conquest character that comes out aligned with kind of the release cadence of where that's at.
Okay. That's fair. I'm just curious.
I'll throw another one out there. I don't think that we get so this, I know everyone made a big deal about the number of marquee characters from last year.
Mm-hmm.
What threw it off was the Jedi Knight Cal Kestis release.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I'm going to chalk that up to, it was a special release because of a tie-in with another EA game.
Right.
I don't think that we're going to get the mid, although we did get, I don't think we're going to get the big journey character in the middle of the year like we did the last couple of years.
Like in June.
Yeah.
I don't know who you would expect it to be. Unless they really want to go. I don't even want to voice this. I'm too scared to put it out into the world.
So I'll give another one, but it'll be the same time frame.
Okay.
You could do Chancellor Palpatine.
Yeah.
As a journey guide character that sets up something tied to Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
With a, you know, later in the year or something similar to that.
I was going to say, I'm going to say it. I'm going to put it out into the universe, my bad juju, and everyone can yell at me if this happens. If they really wanted to be mean, they could make Flight Suit Luke a journey guide.
Oh, yeah. I'd be 100% on that.
And then make him a requirement for Red 5 in the summer.
So if they do that, would you expect him to be always available?
Ooh, that's tough because the ship events usually come back monthly. Well, for capital ships.
Yeah.
So this would be weird for a non-capital ship. They could do whatever they wanted at this point for that.
What? So here's another one. I think the Riva release cadence here was great. What if we get a new planet and that's where they drop Flight Suit Luke?
Mm-hmm.
Some type of territory battle character that's needed for something later in the year.
Yep. A new character. That would be good to do a new unlock. I'm just thinking about if they did do Luke as the journey guide and then made him required for Red 5. I feel like you would have to. It wouldn't make sense to me to make him a once in a while event, like once every 3-4 months, yeah, and then have Red 5 come back every month.
Yeah.
Like that would make no sense to me.
Yeah.
So I feel like you would have to have him be available all the time. I also think people would spend way more money if he was available all the time.
Yes. Like although I think that the second he comes to the game, you're going to see a lot of people that claim to never break out their wallet, breaking out their wallet.
Yeah, because they know.
He telegraphs the next move.
Yeah, they know Red 5's coming if he comes to the game. Yeah, for sure. Oh, man, this is going to be a wild year. If we're accurate. I would love a new territory battle character. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And that's a great spot to put in something like Flight Suit Luke.
Yeah, everyone's going to want. You make it, maybe you need to release a new character so that people actually have something they have to work towards to be able to get it. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Do we have an I Love You, I Know segment? Are we positive after 8 years of playing this game?
I think we are. I think the game's in a great place.
I think it is too. I don't have any complaints right now.
Between the changes that they've made to the raid, the changes that they've made to Conquest and making Datacrons more available, I think they're listening. Like I know people like to say that they're not, but I think that yes, quality control I would love a little bit more quality control. But it does feel like they're putting more than just the let's keep the lights on effort into this game. Like they're going to hit 10 years and they're going to still be on an upward climb.
Which is wild.
Yes.
For a mobile game. Oh, that is insanity.
Yeah.
I think we're in a good spot. I don't have complaints right now. We're on vacation mode.
Yes.
So let's do, because I can hear Jasper getting mad. Let's do Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm real quick.
All right.
And then we'll be all set.
Mine's fast. Okay. I got a head start on this quarter's Project 1989. So the UFUs are done.
Nice.
Because it just had a couple of levels. Kara is going to happen tomorrow after she'll be Relic 9, because I just really wanted to do that. And then I got to decide whether I'm going to go Night Sisters or Geos next, because I just want to make those missions easier in territory battles.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I am still slow farming paths. I'm doing 10 sims on him a day. He's in a good spot. I'm not mad. I've been buying a couple of IG shards and Kelleran shards with crystals. Yeah. Not going crazy. I'm mostly just gearing Imperial troopers right now. for the raid, but also we're going to want to have a Dark Trooper Gideon team, I think, for Territory Wars.
Yeah.
And since he needs a full Imperial Remnant squad, I'm like, and you all are in the raid, I might as well just gear you guys.
Yeah.
So I just took Death Trooper to Relic 5. I'm going to punch him to Relic 7 once I get some more signal data. And I'm doing a Stormtrooper right now. And then all of my Imperial Remnants, except for Robo Gideon, will be relic'd. And I want them all at Relic, like, 7 or higher for him. So that's the goal. And then I'm just going to slot them in the raid and see what happens to my score.
So, Juhani, Starkiller, Mara, EP, Territory Wars, probably done.
Oh, yeah.
He wipes
them.
And that was with a revive cron and all of the silly 200% defense and all that other stuff that you could put on that. So
I saw people using it without an Omicron as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just silliness. So
you had a good run. It's over.
Yeah. It's off the board now. So yeah, that's what I'm working on. And it's a good spot, I think.
Yeah.
Not mad about it. I did take 3 characters to Relic 8 this week for Territory Battle Platoons. We ran into like a little situation, which was fine. And I was really hoping to just correct the situation with it. So one was good. I now have a Relic 8 Starkiller.
Okay.
I also have a Relic 8 Darth Maul and HK-47. So.
You remember when I said that I was planning on taking Maul up to R8? So I volunteered to do it. And then I was realized, oh no, it was Darth Maul. So then I had to go put him up after I just, yeah. So I have one too.
I said it and Thrak and our Territory War officer was like, oh, you just like forced yourself into a good situation though. And you have a Relic 8 Starkiller and a Relic 8 Maul. And I was like, no, Darth Maul.
Darth
and he
Maul.
Just went, oh.
Yeah. So it was kind of a good situation.
Yeah. So. That's that. Awesome. I think we managed to do a no news.
We did.
No news fluff. So we will hopefully have news in 2 weeks.
And the good news is because we're back on our schedule and they're back on our schedule, that they should align pretty well for that. So
that's a great point. So I think we can call it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah. Thank you. And that ought to do it. And until next time, Chewy, we're home.